Welcome, everyone, to the Wild Women in Hiding Telesummit. I'm Liz LaRoque. I'm here today with Kat Trebilko. Having worked in the corporate world for 8 years, Kat decided it was time to move into the world of self-employment in 2014 to gain a better work-life balance and do something she was truly passionate about. Kat is a qualified NLP practitioner and combines coaching and adventure to help women find their confidence and follow their dreams. In our interview with Kat today, we're going to be talking about what is NLP coaching and how it might be able to help you, the benefits of walking and talking, and how to take on your first outdoor adventure. So, Kat, welcome.
Thank you very much, Liz. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so let's start off. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Kat. I'm a life coach and also a mountain guide. So I combine the two things and take people out into nature to help them essentially work out what it is that they want to do with their life and whether they're working towards a change or a transition or a goal that they want to achieve. I kind of take them out on adventures into the outdoors and help them figure that out through some coaching. So I run my own business called Reach the Peak. And through that, I do both one-to-one coaching with people, some just straightforward mountain guiding on adventures out in Scotland, which is where I'm based. And I also run wellbeing retreats. So I take people away for the weekend, just away from everything, to do some coaching and some hill walking. And sometimes I team up with a yoga instructor as well. So we have a nice, relaxing weekend away just to get a bit of headspace to think things through. I also guide for some other companies just as a freelance outdoor instructor. I've done quite a few expeditions to developing world countries like Swaziland and Sri Lanka and Ethiopia. I'm off to Nepal and India this year. And most recently, I've just got back from the Arctic or the Arctic Circle in northern Finland, where I've been guiding some treks out there for charity challenges. So, yeah, quite diverse kind of mix of stuff that I do, but mostly based in the outdoors.
Awesome. So, about me. So, well, let's see, you worked in a corporate job before, right? And then how did you kind of make that transition? Because your life now sounds pretty awesome. Like you're out there doing cool stuff, you know, not stuck cooped up in an office. Sort of like what made you pursue this? I mean, it must have been kind of scary to quit a job to go work outdoors, you know, and become a coach, a whole new career, I assume.
Yeah, lots of people say to me, oh, you're so brave, I'd love to do something like that, or it must have been really scary. And I think looking back, I do think it was a brave thing to do, but at the time, it just seemed to me like the only option. My corporate job, I found quite stressful. I wasn't very happy in it. I was, you know, fairly stressed in it. And I did my NLP qualification initially just for personal interest. I'd heard about it from a few friends that had done it and they'd all really, really enjoyed it. So I thought, oh, I'll just do that out of interest. And through doing it, because as well as learning to coach other people, you're also being coached as other people are learning by practicing on you, essentially. I went through my own kind of journey, if you like, about learning about what I'm really passionate about, what I'm really good at, how I could help other people, which is something that's really important to me. And just through going through that process, it helped me kind of come up with the ideas for my own business, realize why I was so unhappy in my corporate job and what I could do differently to make myself happier. So what started just as personal interest turned into a business to have the life that I've got now, if you like.
Nice. So were you adventurous even when you had your job? Were you still, like, were you a guide then or at least, you know, active outdoors?
Yes. Yeah, I started through the Scouts, actually, when I was about 12 and a half, climbing mountains and kind of worked up from there to get some qualifications, again, mainly just for personal interest and to help out with the Scouts, to give something back to them through getting qualified so I could take Scouts out. And I'd done a few just kind of team building days for charity within my corporate organization. So I'd already got a fair amount of experience of guiding and leading. Since I quit my corporate job, I've extended that further by getting my winter qualification. meaning I can take people out at any time of year in Scotland because it can get a bit wild over here. But yeah, I was already adventurous before I quit my job.
Awesome. So it's interesting how that all lined up to, you know, kind of create the life you have now. So that's cool. All right. So you've led expeditions in the Arctic, Ethiopia, Sri Lanka, and Swaziland. Can you share with us your most exciting or transformative experience on one of these expeditions?
Yeah, sure. I think every expedition is different, and I think you get different things from them. I mentioned recently I've been in the Arctic, and I was so lucky to see the Northern Lights while we were there. And that was just one of those moments. We've been trekking all day. We've done an 11-hour day trekking. I was completely knackered. My feet hurt. I was cold. I was camping. We were out camping in minus 20, so it was quite extreme conditions. And it did feel a bit like survival at times. And then you just look up and suddenly saw these lights going across the sky. And it's just one of those magical moments where you forget everything else. You forget all of the pain, and you're just inspired by this complete kind of like magic and beauty of nature. That it's one of those moments that just makes you feel completely alive, but in quite a kind of just calm way, if that makes sense. And then there's other expeditions I've done. I actually, as well as the guiding I've done, I've done quite a lot of personal travel and have climbed mountains all around the world. So I've been to Nepal and climbed two peaks there right next to Everest, so Mira Peak and Island Peak, they're called. And that was a month-long expedition that you kind of work up to for ages. You're away with a group of strangers. They're not strangers by the end of the month, obviously, but when you first arrive, you're meeting all these new people for the first time. It's quite daunting. And I just had a moment there when you summit on one of the peaks, and you're just looking around at the beauty and stunning view all around you. And that was really kind of exciting. It was quite high wind. We just climbed up this narrow ridge. Your heart's beating. And you just, you know, you feel like you've conquered the world. Basically, you just get this huge feeling of confidence and achievement, and it just, well, yeah, it makes you feel like you could do anything that you wanted to do. And I've got a picture of me on that summit up on my wall at home. So even when I am doing paperwork for my business, you can kind of look up at it and just regain that feeling of, yeah, I can do anything. So yeah, there's loads of different experiences you can get from being out in nature and being outdoors on adventures, from beauty and calm and peacefulness to that real adrenaline kind of feeling.
So what you're describing, these, you know, these adventures, that they don't sound easy, you know. So like, when you've been doing it, has your confidence ever been shaken while you were out, you know, on an expedition or whatever? And like, how did you overcome it, or did you learn anything from like really enduring something difficult?
I think you learn your own personal limits, and generally what I've learned with my personal limits is that they're always further, they're bigger than you think they are. You get to a point where you've been walking all day and you're like, I can't go any further, but you've still got another hour to walk till camp. And your body's telling you can't go any further, and your mind's telling you can't go any further. And then actually you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And it's amazing what you can achieve by just keeping going, even when you think you can't. And I think sometimes you forget that it's easy to kind of give up when stuff gets hard. But actually, if you just keep going at it, you can achieve things that you want, and you kind of learn each time you do that, you push your boundaries, you learn what you're capable of. So the next time that happens and you're in that situation, you kind of, you know, you might still feel like you can't go any further, but it will have taken you longer to have got to that point because you know that you can do it.
So were some of these situations where you couldn't quit? Like, we had one speaker who, you know, rode across the ocean, and she literally could not, for the most part, quit because she had to get to the other side. So she discovered her limits, you know, in that manner. Is it like that for you? Is it because you had to, or do you just sort of find, I don't know, the strength because you just want to do it? Or how do you keep going?
I think it's interesting, with mountains in particular, there's a kind of way up and a way down. And on the way up, it's a choice to keep going because you want to get to the top. At any point, you can always choose to come back down, if you're going up and down the same route, at least. So it is that that drive of wanting to summit, of wanting to achieve something, of following through on a plan that, or goal that you've set yourself. I think interestingly, when you're coming down, unless you're going to, you know, you can't just sit down and give up because nobody's going to come get you. Fine, mountain rescue and things do exist, but only if you're injured, not just because you've given up. So I think sometimes on the way down, you do just wish that it was over. But, you know, that's part of the journey. You have to get to the end. Otherwise, you know, you've not made it if you just sit down and give up halfway through. So there are, I would say there's more likely on the way down times where it is that you just have to keep going because that's where the end is. On the way up, there will be difficult times, but I generally find the fact I want to get to the summit and that I want to succeed and I want to achieve keeps me going.
Okay. So let's switch gears a little bit. Now, you're an NLP coach. So what exactly is that, and is it different than other types of coaching?
Yeah, so NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and is one of the questions I hate being asked, what is NLP, because it's almost impossible to answer. It's many different things, and it's a big collection of different processes, and it can be used in loads of different ways. So I'll just give you a little bit of background of where it came from, and then I'll talk a little bit about how I use it, which might be different from other people's experiences of how they've seen it used. So it grew in the 1970s. It started from a mathematician and a linguist working together on a PhD or some kind of research. And they studied people who were renowned as really excellent communicators. And what they were looking for is, what do those excellent communicators do that is different from other people that makes them so excellent at what they do? And then they were trying to study that and write down processes for what they were doing that was different that they could then teach on to other people to make other people better at communication. So it started as a study in communication, and it has then grown beyond that. So taking that process of learning, so finding someone who is excellent in something, modeling them, looking at what it is that they do to make them excellent in that thing, and then coming up with the process to teach excellence in that thing to somebody else. So it's moved on to look at kind of habit formation, how we think and process change, how we process information, how we understand and can change our emotions. It's essentially a study of what works in human beings to make them good at stuff, which can be applied to so many different things, whether it's sports or communication or, you know, anything that you're trying to get excellent at, you can study it. If you break down the component parts of its name, neuro is essentially looking at what goes on in our brain, how we process information, how we organize our thoughts, etc., that kind of thing. The linguistic element of it looks at the language we use and how that influences the results that we get. So if you say, I'm trying to do something, then it builds in an automatic expectation that it's okay if you fail because you're only trying. Whereas if you say things like, I am doing this, or I will do this, or I can do this, it builds in a more expectation that you're going to actually achieve it. So it looks at the way that the language we use influences both ourselves when we're talking to ourselves and also in communication with others. And it also looks at things like body language and how you can build greater rapport with people to improve relationships. And then the final section of it is programming. So that's more around kind of habit formation. Lots of people will say, oh, that's just the way that I am and that's just the way that I do things. But actually, a lot of our habits, it's a bit like a computer program. You can upload a program and the computer will just do that thing over and over again. But then you can uninstall it and upload a different program to make it do something else. And actually, a lot of our habits are just the way that we've been programmed over time. And NLP can help. If you've got an unhelpful habit or a pattern of thinking that is limiting you, you can actually quite easily change it to help yourself have a different result. So that is my whistle-stop tour of NLP. And you mentioned that you asked if it's different from other types of coaching. Most common question I get asked is if it's similar to counselling. And actually, I think it's quite different from counselling. In my experience, counselling tends to look back at a problem situation or something that happened and kind of dig over the reasons of why it happened and look at the immediate kind of outcomes of that. NLP and other types of coaching as well tend to be more forward focused. They occasionally look back just to kind of see where we've got to, but they'll more look forwards about what do you want to change, what do you want to achieve, how do you want things to be different, and we'll focus on those elements. So it tends to be, for me, the way that I use it is a mix of coaching exercises that are quite kind of set processes that have been designed through the studies that people have done to kind of help change your way of thinking. And some of it is just conversational kind of chats with more about asking the right question just to help change people's thinking a little bit. So it's a massively broad topic. It covers loads of different things. It can be used in coaching to help people with achieving goals. It can be used on stage. People like Darren Brown will use NLP on stage for entertainment. It can be used with sales training to help people better at selling to a customer's need. It's so wide ranging. It kind of means different things to different people. But what I've talked about is kind of what it means to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So can it be used, or do you use it when you're helping women who maybe feel stuck or that they're not living, you know, their greatest life or whatever? Can you use it to help them kind of reevaluate or get unstuck?
Absolutely. And women who are stuck are kind of the main people that come to me. The reasons they are stuck can be quite different. It's often to do with a change of identity, or women who have kind of lost track of what their purpose in life is, if you like. And it can quite often be to do with people's personal values as well, if they're in a job that isn't meeting their personal values. Often it's people who are stuck. Sometimes they'll come and they'll know while they're stuck they're in a job they don't like, or they're looking at leaving a relationship, or they might be going back to work after having a baby. They might have grown-up kids who are leaving home, and that is a kind of transition for them around their identity of they're still a mother, but they're a mother in a different way. Often people come, they're stuck because it is their identity is changing in some way. Sometimes people will come and they're just stuck and they don't know why, they don't know which bit of their life is. So we'll spend some time kind of just working through different areas of their life and looking at where they're happy and where they might want to make changes. But yeah, often it can be a real good sort of catalyst to get a change moving. Sometimes it's a massive big thing like quitting a job. Other times it will just be little tweaks that people make to their life that actually make a huge difference.
Okay, so I know that as part of your coaching, and you mentioned it earlier, you take clients on hikes. Like, I think you do day hikes or maybe even overnight hikes. So, I mean, why do you do this? What's the benefit of bringing your clients out into nature?
There's so many benefits of taking people out into nature. I think first of all, it's a beautiful place to be. I think sometimes I live in Edinburgh in a city, and you kind of get stuck in even walking down the street. Although you're outside, it's kind of closed in. You've got blocks of flats that you're walking between, or tall buildings, and just getting out into a green space where you can see a view, I find really opens people's thinking sometimes. When you can see further, you can think bigger, you can get a different perspective. So if you're walking up a mountain, you can put your problems down in the valley and look down on them from a different angle, and suddenly they don't seem as big anymore. So there's all that kind of element of it, just being out in nature and out in the fresh air. Getting exercise kind of produces all those endorphins and adrenaline that kind of help give that feeling of forward momentum and making change. I also find just getting away from the city or away from offices and home life and that kind of thing means you haven't got any distractions, so you can concentrate fully on the time that we're together, fully on yourself to help spend some time, because time actually is really precious. People, whenever you're at home, there's always something you can do, put the washing on or doing the washing up, or there's kids that need your attention or a partner, or there's just stuff to do. By going away into nature, you lose all of those distractions and you can just focus on yourself. The final thing I find about being outdoors And when you're walking, we often walk side by side or one behind the other if you're on a narrow path. And what that means is you haven't got any eye contact. And often I find that helps people open up more. All the time, if you're sitting facing somebody and you're talking to them and you're saying stuff, even when you're trying not to react to it, your face will make all these little micro movements of, oh, really? Did she just say that? Or, oh, I can't believe she did that. Oh, how awful. Even when you're trying not to react like that. But I think by walking side by side, yes, you'll glance at each other occasionally, but it frees people up to just talk more freely and just say exactly what they feel and exactly what they think, rather than having that worry of, oh, if I say this, then the other person's going to judge me or make a comment or whatever. So it's quite a freeing place to be, I think. And that just has so many advantages when you're coaching, just to really tap into who you are and what you feel and what you want to say.
That's interesting. That's a good point, too. When you were saying that you don't have to look, you know, the coach in the eye or whatever, it gave me a feeling like, yeah, I would be embarrassed probably to reveal my deepest secrets, you know, just looking at you across your desk. So it would be nice to, yeah, not have to look, to be walking where, you know, it's sort of.
Yeah, and often I do find people will say stuff to me and then go, oh God, I've never told anyone that before. I've been with my husband 20 years and I've never told him that. So yeah, sometimes that is just because they are ready for coaching and they want to open up and share stuff. And sometimes I do think it just comes from being outdoors and being in nature. It creates or encourages that level of openness, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so let me ask you this question then. For women that want to go outdoor or they want to go like on an adventure, not necessarily for coaching, but if they want to go on an adventure, but they're afraid to, you know, like they're not real experienced or it's really out of their comfort zone to maybe go on a long hike. Do you have any tips for them?
Just do it, I'd say. I think that there's lots of ways you can build up to doing something. You don't have to start off by climbing Everest on your first trip out the door. Just start off by doing what you can do and what you feel comfortable to do. And each time you do that, you'll push your comfort zone a little bit further. You know, find a friend to go with, somebody who might be a bit more experienced, or even if they're not more experienced, sometimes when there's two of you together, you feel a bit more confident because there's someone else there. There's lots of training courses out there that you can use to get the skills, whether it's navigation or kind of winter training skills if you're going out in winter. There's loads of different courses available. Or you can always hire a guide just to get you over that first hurdle. Often people, I think, they think it's scarier than it is. The media in particular will always put up pictures of people hanging off of cliffs by, you know, their fingernails, and there's always reports of, you know, people having accidents and avalanches and that kind of stuff. But the media never reports the hundreds of people that have been out that day who just had a jolly nice time, had an adventure, nothing scary happened, and they came home to a nice cup of tea and a bit of cake, because that's not news. But that is the reality of it, is that so many people go out and they are completely safe and they have an awesome time. Actually, I don't think it's as scary as some people believe it to be, if that makes sense.
Do you recommend that people people want to go out on a hike and they're not particularly comfortable? Does it make sense to really get some training? I mean, is safety a concern? Should they go get some basic training?
Yeah, I think training is always good, because sometimes you don't know what you don't know. You can just assume that you'll be okay, but actually there might be some hidden dangers you don't know about. The weather for me is a big one. You can go on a nice mountain walk up a path, and the path goes all the way to the top and you can follow it and it's easy. But then if the weather comes in and it gets really foggy and actually you can't see very far, it's quite easy to get disorientated and walk off the top in the wrong direction. You know, in most situations, you'll just end up in the wrong valley. You're not going to put yourself in much danger, but you'll end up not near your car to go home. But occasionally it could be that you're actually walking towards a cliff or something. So a bit of simple training in things like navigation, I think, can help. But lots of people will have friends who can help them with that kind of stuff, or even joining a club. I'm a member of a mountaineering club in Edinburgh, and there's a real collection of experience levels in there. And I find these new members come in and they kind of go, oh, I'm new, I've not done this before. You know, someone will take them under their wing and will look after them and will take them out, and either just take them out for the day or will take them out and kind of train them along the way. So it doesn't even need to be that you have to pay for training. If you can join a club with a load of like-minded people, often they're very happy to share their knowledge and skills just to kind of help you get on your way.
Beautiful. Okay, so can you give three tips to help wild women come out of hiding and unleash their confidence on the world?
Three tips. A couple of different ones. I think from an adventure point of view, making sure you have the right equipment is a really good one. That can be the difference between having a really enjoyable day out where you're nice and warm and toasty and got comfortable feet and that kind of thing. It's the difference between that or it being a complete survival mission because you've got blisters and you're cold and your gloves are soaking wet. So having the right equipment can make a real big difference on an adventure. So whether you borrow kit from people or hire kit if you don't have it already, or when you're in a shop, ask the advice of the staff that are there. They can often give you some good advice on what kit you need for the kind of adventures you're going on. I guess in terms of confidence and unleashing your confidence on the world, a lot of clients that I work with, I mentioned earlier, they have a kind of lack of purpose, or they've lost a sense of what their purpose is in life, and they just feel like they're stuck or drifting without any real place that they're going. So for me, a really good tip would be to just reconnect in with your purpose of who you are, what you're all about, your identity, your passion, your personal values. And often through that, you get a real sense of what you want to do with your life and which bits of your life aren't fitting in. And I know that was the same for me when I was in a corporate job. It didn't make me passionate. I didn't really care. But when I talk about mountains and I talk about helping people and coaching people, then, you know, I feel really alive. So find that thing for you that makes you feel that way and follow it, and it will take you on adventures, whether that's up mountains or down rivers or, you know, into a city, wherever. It will help you unleash your confidence. And the final tip I wanted to give is a little saying that made all the difference for me when I was starting my business that I just love, and it's something my dad always used to tell me. I don't know where he got it from. I'm sure it was a saying before that, but it's, don't be afraid to take a big step. You can't cross a chasm in two small jumps.
Okay. Nice. All right. So thank you for the tips. I think that would be very helpful. Do you have anything else coming up that you think will help our listeners reach their goals?
Yeah, well, I'm very happy for people to get in touch with me if they want to find out a little bit more about what I do, whether that's just to have a chat or if they're interested in coaching and they want to go on an outdoor adventure and get some coaching at the same time to help them work towards the goal. I'd be very happy to hear from people. I'm offering a free discovery call, so people can book in sort of 20 to 30 minutes of time with me just to talk through where they're at and whether it might be something that helps them. So there's sort of no obligation following that call, but it's just a call for us to have a discussion. I've also got an ebook called Four Simple Steps to Solve Your Biggest Problem. That ebook basically works through an NLP process to discover your own personal values. Lots of people will have some awareness of some of the things that are important to them, but a lot of your personal values are actually held quite unconsciously. But they're so important because they guide every single decision you make in your life, from the really big things like where you live and who you're in a relationship with and what your job is, through to everyday things like what you eat for breakfast and what you wear that day. Your personal values are guiding those. So having an awareness of what your personal values are can really help you solve problems when you are feeling stuck or you've got an issue that you're working through. If you can align the answer with your personal values, then you'll feel much more aligned as a person, and it will help you make the right decision for you just by making sure the decision you make aligns with your values. So that ebook is available for people to read. couple of other things I've got coming up. I mentioned earlier that I do wellbeing retreats. We've got one coming up at the end of March, and also another one in September. They are a mix of hill walking, yoga, and life coaching. Really great opportunity just to get away from it all, to come to a beautiful place in Scotland, surrounded by mountains and lakes and trees. And it's a really lovely time just to get away, whether you just want to take some time for yourself, or if you've got something that you're working on that you want to work through. They're a really great opportunity just to spend some time with like-minded people and spend some time on yourself. And the final thing just to say is, I mentioned earlier, I've been guiding in the Arctic. That's a really cool adventure to do. You're in the Arctic Circle. It's cold, it's dark, but it's pretty awesome. It's very beautiful there. So they're not treks I run myself, but if you are interested in coming to the Arctic, then if you get in touch with me, either via my website, which is www.reachthepeak.co.uk, or by emailing me directly, which is cat@reachthepeak.co.uk. I'd be more than happy to put you in touch with the organizer, because it is a really, really cool adventure to go on. So cool. Yeah, I think that's everything that's coming up for me.
Awesome. Well, Kat, thank you so much for participating, and I think you've given some great advice to our listeners, and we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Liz.